This is Responding to Disasters, From Prediction to Recovery. I'm Susan Hassler.
Can anybody hear me? I'm a civilian. I'm trapped inside of one of your fire trucks. Save me! I'm in a camping truck!
There's no way for emergency responders to prepare for every unexpected catastrophe. But one industrial engineer has developed a new technology to help first responders make better decisions under pressure, one that combines computer science with jazz music. Mia LaBelle reports from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York.
John Hines has been a professional trumpet player for 30 years. In this track, he's got a solo in the Gershwin jazz classic, They Can't Take That Away From Me.
There was a soloist that played immediately before me, and I kind of picked up on the melody that he ended his solo with, and I used that as a starting point for mine.
This kind of improvisation is what makes jazz, jazz, and it's something that musicians spend much of their careers trying to master.
Improvisation is reacting to the music, creating something new and original in the moment, but they're really drawing from something that they've already done or already heard.
In the performing arts, music, theater, dance, it's recognized as a skill to be practiced and honed and perfected. And there's an entire way of instruction, many ways of instruction for building that skill in those domains.
That's David Mendonca, an associate professor at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York State. He studies human decision-making in high-pressure situations like large-scale disasters. His research suggests that reasoning strategies similar to those used by jazz musicians can be used by police, firefighters, and other first responders during major disasters like earthquakes, tsunamis, and terrorist attacks.
Tower 2 has had a major explosion and what appears to be a complete collapse surrounding the entire area.
On September 11th, 2001, first responders were tested as they'd never been before on their ability to react and make decisions in the moment. There was no training for this kind of disaster, and emergency personnel had to suddenly take on new roles, form new organizations. Power company executives mobilized hundreds of portable generators to restore electricity to homes and businesses, and ferry boat operators banded together to support a waterborne evacuation of Lower Manhattan.
Lots of coordination had to happen on the ground as opposed to in the back office in order to keep that work going. So the ideas, like any good ideas, look very obvious in retrospect. But with any kind of high-stakes decision-making like this, it's important to consider the impact of time pressure and uncertainty on the ability of people to reason. There are all kinds of conflicting demands and fog of war and all this kind of stuff, where it's not really clear what should be done.
Humans have a unique ability to think creatively, to essentially come up with new rules when the old rules no longer apply. Cognitive engineers call this functional reasoning, and it's something jazz improvisers do all the time.
One of the things that you learn early as an improvising performer is how to take a routine, a phrase, say, that you know, and bend it, stretch it, so that it becomes something different, but similar to what you learned. And in that way, over time, with practice, you explore what's possible. I think it's worthwhile to look at training practices within the arts and say, how could we adapt those for a different context, in this case, emergency response?
Just like jazz musicians, first responders could learn to think in new ways and enhance their performance. They could train for and practice the kind of decision-making required of them in high-pressure situations before they happen. To do this, researchers need to understand exactly how the brain works under pressure.
I can't breathe much longer. Please save me. I'm in a camping truck.
Mendoza and his colleagues designed a series of experiments in 1999 to figure this out. They put pairs of musicians in a recording studio and asked them to play increasingly difficult tunes. Trumpeter John Hines was part of that experiment.
For example, one of the songs he gave, I remember now, was called I Got Rhythm. It was myself and a bass player, and I had played with him quite a few times, so we were familiar with each other's playing. But even so, since we didn't get a chance to talk about it too much, we didn't really know where it was going to go.
After each tune, the musicians were asked to listen to the recording and say what they were thinking as they played. What Mendoza found is that there's a direct connection between the complexity of the song and the kind of thinking that goes into playing it. The more complex or high pressure the tune, the more the musicians were required to be in the moment, and the more they relied on familiar musical phrases as the building blocks of their performance.
At the level of notes, you have to have those building blocks in order. And if you're not prepared to take those building blocks and rearrange them almost beneath awareness, then you can't improvise. And it's the same in an emergency situation, where if you don't have the fundamentals down, then improvising or attempting to improvise by taking advantage of those fundamentals is just not going to work. Then you're creating too much to think about.
Instead of notes and phrases, emergency responders have their standard operating procedure. This tells them what to do in a given situation, but it can't possibly cover every scenario. First responders need to learn to react to the unexpected. To help them practice this kind of thinking under pressure, Mendoza developed a computer program that simulates large-scale disasters.
Ladder's there. Now I'm going to hope that when the ladder gets there and the chemicals and the CO2 gets there, that the ladder can deploy the CO2.
The program presents a scenario and a set of resources. Then it changes the game, forcing the players to adapt quickly and improvise a new response. Their decision-making process can then be analyzed to see how effective it is. Mendoza says this analysis is the next frontier for computer-aided disaster response.
The work that I'm doing now is in that area, trying to take some initial computer-executable models of improvisation and formalize them, so that they can be embedded within computers and used in this kind of training. So there's an engineering payoff.
Taking this concept one step further, Mendoza has developed a group decision support system, a computer program that actually mimics the way a human thinks. Here's how it works. Say there's a large fire on a cargo ship. There are victims and there aren't enough resources to put out the fire. The computer program analyzes the scenario and makes recommendations based on the priorities of the emergency personnel. For example, the program might suggest to use firefighters for crowd control if police aren't available. In this way, the program itself acts as an improviser.
We recognize that a lot of the systems that we build, that we operate in the world, have a mixture of human and technological components working together. And if you want to optimize the system, if you want to make the system run as best as it can, you need to understand not just the machine side, not just the human side, but also the interaction between the two.
Theoretically, this kind of program could be used to help first responders make better decisions. Mendoza says under pressure, humans are more likely to go with what they know. A computer that makes decisions like a human but doesn't feel pressure may be able to come up with options the humans might have missed. For now, though, first responders are on their own. They learn to improvise through experience, to adapt their standard operating procedure to handle whatever situation comes their way.
One way to look at disaster response is as an opportunity for learning and for renewal. And it's reasonable to ask, how much do organizations learn from what happens in a disaster? So the improvisations that happen today are the standard operating procedures of tomorrow.
No computer will ever replace humans in responding to catastrophic events. But by understanding how humans make decisions, how they improvise, better tools can be developed to support emergency responders, helping them react even more heroically and more creatively to even our worst disasters. I'm Mia Lobel.